Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee coming up at 7:30. Get his thoughts on Vanderbilt as they take on Ole Miss this weekend. And then we'll have Paul Kaharsky at 8 o'clock as well, talking all things Tennessee Titans. So lots to get to on that front. But right now, Joe, we focus in on the Nashville Predators. The regular season beginning for the Predators in just 2 days, coming up on Friday over in Prague. The Predators are there. Apparently Nash is running around the street right now in Prague, and everybody in Prague's taking photos of that. So,
Right as we speak right now?
As we speak. Oh, Nash running around in the streets exciting. Over there. So good to see that. Preds taking on the San Jose Sharks to get things kicked off. And there's been a lot of moving parts this offseason, Joe Rexford. We talked about, you know, a lot of time, but kind of like the state of the Predators franchise in the immediate aftermath of the Colorado series of, all right, where exactly are they? Where exactly are they going? And how competitive are they going to be, say, in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years? And there were Predators fans with a variety of different opinions on that front. Some people thought that they should tear it down and rebuild. Some people thought that they should change the coaching staff. Some people thought that they should, you know, just have a clean slate with everybody. And some people thought you just stick with it, and the Predators are getting better and better, and they're going to be a Stanley Cup contender sometime in the next couple of years. Well, it was a busy offseason for David Poile. You add Nino Niederreiter. You add Ryan McDonough. You bring in Kevin Lehkonen as your backup goaltender. And I think pretty much everybody would agree this is clearly a stronger team on paper this year heading into the season than it was this time a season ago. So my expectations, or my question to you, Joe Rexroad, is what are the expectations for this Predators team? What should the expectations be for this group heading into this season that begins coming up on Friday?
I would say the expectations are to make the playoffs without having to sweat it out at the very end. You know, to be one of the top three teams in the Central. Make the playoffs comfortably and have some playoff success. I guess that would mean win a playoff series.
They have not done since 2018, by the
way. Last time was when they beat this young upstart team that looked like maybe it'd be pretty good in a few years, the Colorado Avalanche, back in 2018. And the Avs gave them a little more trouble than I think most of us anticipated. I think that's it. I think, you know, then you see what happens. But you want to be and I think another thing is, we've been talking about the Titans first half, second half. Can you be a little more consistent? And I know in an 82-game season, every team has hot streaks and cold streaks. But the last two seasons, you've had a really bad first half and a great second half, and then a great first half and a pretty bad second half. I mean, you know, to the point where you're flirting with, you know, you beat Colorado, you're one in the West briefly. We knew that wouldn't last. But then all of a sudden to get down to the very end, barely squeaking into the playoffs. Can you be a little bit more consistent through the 82 games? But ultimately it's where you land, right? I mean, if it takes like 6 weeks of ridiculous fire wagon hockey and then everything else is not as great, okay. Did you get there? Did you end up in the playoffs, in the 2 or 3 spot in the division, and then can you go win a series and beat the two or the other team in the division if that's how it works out?
Yeah.
That to me would be – I mean, is that the expectation? That to me would be living up to your potential on paper.
Well, I think, look, the expectation for me, anything less than a playoff berth is a tremendous disappointment if you're this team, I think. And – you know, look, that's quite frankly a different conversation than I was having this time last year. I mean, this time last year I picked them to finish in 7th in the Central, so that didn't go very well. You picked them to make the playoffs.
I did. Thank you.
We listen to Rex Road here on this program.
I'm very good at predicting things.
Yes, you are.
Awesome.
But you know, I think when you look at the division, I think you look at the moves the Predators made on paper to add to their group in the offseason, but also what we saw from a lot of the key players that are returning last season, I think the expectation should be a clearly better team in the regular season that's fighting for that second or third spot. Now, look, everybody is going to hand the division to Colorado, and they should. I mean, the Colorado is a great team. Colorado is not as good as they were a year ago. I mean, there's no question. I mean,
point.
I'm looking at it on – you can look at it all you want. They have a gigantic hole right now on their second line, that Nazem Kadri's gone, and they have not filled that hole. So they are not as strong as they were a year ago. Now, Cale Makar is another year older. Nathan MacKinnon just got a lot of money, and they're going to be fine. Like, they're going to be a really good team. You know, I don't love their goaltending situation with Francois and Alexander Georgiev, who just gave up about 1,000 goals the other day in the preseason. But Colorado's going to be really good. They're going to be the overwhelming favorite in the Central. Like, I think the Predators have a chance to be right there with St. Louis and right there with Minnesota. Like, to me, that's the expectation. You should be right in the thick of things with those guys. And you know, I'm not saying that you're going to be right in the thick for a division title. Maybe you're 8-10 points behind Colorado when it's all said and done. But are you right there in the thick of things with St. Louis? Like, St. Louis is still a really good team, I think. And I think if I had to pick today, I'd probably give them the slight edge over the Predators. But I think the Predators are good enough to make things interesting with St. Louis. And I think they're certainly good enough to make things interesting with Minnesota after last year. Like, I think the Predators are better than the Minnesota Wild right now. So that's my expectation. Like, I think you need to find yourself in that second or third spot with a legitimate chance to take down a St. Louis in the first round. Like, you've got UC Soros. Obviously, it's impossible for me to sit here today on October the 5th and predict what the injury situation is going to look like for the Predators. But I think there's enough there with this team that they are a good team. And I don't know that they're a Stanley Cup contender good, but I think they're a good, solid team that should be able to make some noise in the playoffs and should be able to win a playoff series. That, to me, is the expectation. Like, the days of, you know, you just being one and done in the playoffs and being happy with it, I think the Predators are past that. I think this team should be past that. And if that's the end result this year, you're one and done in the playoffs, I mean, I think that's a pretty disappointing result with this group. So the expectation should be higher heading into this season, I think.
Yeah. And look, I mean, that I think it should be, and I think that the two big ads dictate, you know, that that's realistic. And I think you have to look at that and say, I mean, as close as I think they were to blowing it up, they didn't, and now they are better. And I think it looks like an interesting team that could have a really good season. So, I mean, I think you have to give credit to David Poile for that, while understanding, you know, all the twists and turns in the last few years to where they got close to blowing it up. But I think they're better, and I agree they should be good. Do you PicksWise.com, is this something you've ever heard of?
I've heard of it.
Okay. Well, their best Stanley Cup, because I just don't want to, like, read from a website that's, like, you know, on the dark web and I accidentally stumbled across it. 2023 Stanley Cup winner best long shot bet, Nashville Predators plus 4,000.
Really?
How about that?
Okay.
Making the case, starting with Soros, who we don't talk about a lot, but again, as pointed out here, you know, last three seasons, he's third in the league in goals saved above expected. I mean, he can win the Vezina, man. So you start there, and if you've got that guy, that's the thing. I mean, already, and I get it, people are going gaga over Askarov, and I mean, hey, it's a great problem to have at some point, and if that's your tandem down the road here, that's going to be a lot of fun. But right now, Soros is in his prime, and he's a great player. So you start there. I think the decor is definitely, it looks like it could be, you know, it may not be decor of, you know, 5 years ago where it was clearly the best in the league, but it looks like they've solidified that. I am a little puzzled slash concerned about that six forward spot in the top six right now. Really interested to see what's going on with Tomasino here as the season gets going.
Well, there are two things that I feel reasonably confident are going to happen. Number one, I think this is going to be a much better defensive team than it was a year ago. And I mean much better. I think they're going to be significantly better at protecting their own net. So, you know, McDonough comes in. He's a huge part of that, obviously. But I think as long as they stay healthy there, it kind of slots everybody else where they're supposed to be. And then there's the forward part of it, too, where you've got guys that, you know, another year in the system of being responsible and knowing how to play. I think they're going to be a better team defensively. I also feel relatively confident that, you know, Maggie Shane's probably not scoring 43 this year, and Philip Forsberg may not score 42. Like, you're probably going to have to get some offense from some different guys of, you know, like Niederreiter coming in. You need him to get close to 20. You need Johansson to be close to 20 again. Like, there's a lot of things offensively that need to happen. So in the aggregate, how many more goals are you preventing and how many more goals are you getting from the rest of your lineup, not named Matt Duchene, Philip Forsberg, and Roman Josi? That's to be the question. That's going to help determine where they end up this year.
Yeah, no doubt. You got to get a little bit more help there. There's going to be some regression. Got to be able to balance things out a little bit more with the scoring. And you expect the power play to be really good again. Power play 2, maybe that gets a little better. Then what does that mean for the whole thing? I mean, it wasn't that long ago. That was probably as big a complaint as any. Like how do they have these guys and they can't put together a decent power play? And now that's very different.
Yeah. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators, 615-737-1025. The regular season underway coming up on Friday. What are your expectations for this Predators team? What should the expectations be for this group heading into the 22-23 season? We'll continue that conversation coming up next. But right now, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, Robbie, and I want to know, can you beat Vegas this football season? Superbook Sports gives you a chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. No fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond setting lines for American sports, just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at Superbook in Las Vegas. We want to take a look at some games this Sunday. We've got Tennessee versus the Washington Commanders. Tennessee's favored by 2.5. I'm going to take Tennessee on the spread. Give me the 2.5. Also take them on the money line, and I think Derrick Henry over in rushing and probably an anytime touchdown from him as well. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boosts and promos anywhere. So download Superbook, the Superbook app, or visit superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas right now. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got a 4-pack of tickets to see Tennessee State take on Bethune-Cookman coming up this Saturday at Nissan Stadium. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a 4-pack of tickets to see TSU take on Bethune-Cookman coming up this Saturday at Nissan Stadium. 615-737-1025. Talking Predators and throwing the question out there, what are your expectations for this Predators team heading into the 22-23 season? 615-737-1025. Chuck on the text line says, who's going to put the puck in the net on the second line? And we talked about that a little bit yesterday, Joe. It's a really interesting question. I feel pretty good all year long about 5 of the 6 being in the top 6. Like Forsberg, Duchene, Granlund, Johansson, Niederreiter are going to be in the top 6 all year. Is Tomasino going to be that next guy? Is Tolvanen going to be the next guy? Does Cody Glass get moved up at some point? Is that next guy? Like finding out who that next step is going to or that next winger is going to be is pretty interesting. Like I still think Tomasino is the most logical option there, even if it doesn't happen immediately. Like I feel like at some point that's going to be probably the way they roll with things in the top 6. But if it's not and he's not ready for it, they could have a problem there with who that next winger is in the top 6. But as we saw it last year, Eli Tolvanen was not good enough there in the top 6. And maybe he would be this year. I don't know. But it's very difficult for me to start that way if I'm John Hines based on the sample size that we've seen from Tolvanen at this point.
Yeah, I think he's got to be one of the bigger stories. I thought so all along. You know, Tomasino taking a big step would be a big key. We've talked about. I think it was a very encouraging season last year for him. But like, how much more can he do? How much of a jump can he take? I would assume that he'd be the guy who would take that last spot. And if he doesn't, is it just going to be a revolving door? To me, that's not ideal. And then, I mean, to the texter's point there, who's going to put the puck on the net specifically? Ryan Johansson, 26 goals last year. I mean, he could have a very good season this year and have 18. You know, what's Niederreiter going to – you know, you hope you get 20 goals out of him, right?
You need 20 goals out of him.
Yeah. And then, you know – is Tomasino a guy who can settle into being a consistent 20-goal scorer? I think that's the idea.
Well, I think it's certainly the idea. I mean, look, the guy last year, you know, he played the majority of the season on the fourth line for the most part. You know, he got some looks on the second power play, so it's not like he didn't have opportunities there. He had 11 goals, 32 points, 76 games. But I thought as the season went on, he just looked more and more comfortable out there. But even early on, you know, he was getting a chance a game that was a pretty good chance, and most of them weren't going in for him to begin the season last year. Like, you need him to finish on some of those. But the ability, I think, is clearly there. He's 21 years old. Like, I think that's the big question is, I think long-term, he's going to be a top six forward. Is he ready for that right now, this second? Because the Predators, quite frankly, need him to be ready for that right now based on the way that the rest of their lineup looks. And you know, I think it's still very possible that their best option in the top six could be Tanner Janot sliding up. I just don't have a lot of confidence they're going to do that based on how last season went, and they love having that line together. I don't blame them for loving having that line together. It's a really good line. Like, at some point, does whatever your fears are of breaking up that line, does Janot's ability at some point outweigh that, and you just got to play him with Johansson? I don't know.
Well, some of the answer there is how good is that line? If they're doing the same stuff they did all last year consistently, then I really think you don't want to mess it up.
Yeah.
But we know how that can go too. You know, you can ebb and flow. And if it's to the point where it's like, okay, you know, it's a good solid line. They're physical. They're forechecking. They're doing something. But you know what? It's not like they're just steamrolling opponents like they did at times last year for stretches. Okay, Janot has got to be bumped up there. That could happen.
It could. I mean, I think you're going to see some mixing and matching go on there. Todd from Gallatin on the text line says Cody Glass is not the answer. Well, the Cody Glass that we've seen thus far is certainly not the answer. Now, the question is, how much better is he? I think he's clearly better. Like, based on what I've seen in training camp and what I've seen so far in the preseason, I think Cody Glass has clearly gotten better. I think there's a confidence level to him now that, quite frankly, I don't think he had last year. You can understand why the career had not gone the way that he or anybody else had envisioned to that point. Now, you know, I think him having the big year in Milwaukee last year was really good for him. What does that mean at the NHL level this year? And what does his opportunity look like? Like, right now, my guess is he's starting on the fourth line. So if you're starting on the fourth line and you've got Ellie Tolvanen and Cole Smith, or Ellie Tolvanen and Zach Sanford out there who you're starting with, how much ice time are you getting in the game? How much offensive opportunity is there? Can you carve out a role for yourself on that second power play, which I think is probably his best opportunity to create some points out there? You know, I don't know. We'll see. He made the team. There's a really cool clip that Alex Doherty put out there yesterday, and then the NHL Network put it out too, of behind the glass of him making the team, and it was a pretty emotional experience for Cody Glass. Like, now, can you take that? Can you build on it and carve out a role for yourself on an every night basis? That's kind of that next challenge for Cody Glass.
Yeah, look, bottom line is we know that's going in a good direction. Now, the expectations started really low, but he's exceeding expectations right now. It could be a nice deal for this team to have a little bit of offense. You still, you know, get the responsibility you need from your fourth line. I don't know how much ice time you're going to get, but a little bit of offense here and there from them. A little bit of Tolvanen. I mean, it's not ideal opportunities. If you're a Tolvanen, you want to be in the top six. You want to be the one who gets that opportunity to be the sixth forward. I would think it would be Tomasino as a clear choice over him.
Well, and then there's the obvious of the guys that are your money guys. Like, Forsberg just got paid a lot of money. Like, you need him to stay healthy, and you need him to be around 40 goals again. I just said in the last segment, I don't expect Duchesne to score 43, and I don't. But if he could be around 35, that'd be pretty good. Like, you'd take – I think if you're a Predators fan, would you sign up for 35 from Duchesne right now? I would. Like, I'd sign up for 35 right this second. So,
oh yeah.
You know, look, he's looked great in the preseason. Like, so maybe he doesn't have a drop off. They've just figured something out there, and they've got, you know, he just had 5 points the other night in the preseason game. So, you know, I say I expect a drop off. Maybe it doesn't happen. I don't know. But realistically, I think there's probably a drop off coming. But if you can limit what that drop off is, all of a sudden your top six has a chance to be pretty darn good. So a lot of this is still going to come down to the money, guys. You know, can Forsberg stay healthy? Can Duchesne give you something close to what you got from him a year ago? Because if they can, then I think you're in pretty good shape. Now, I'd also add to that, like, Mikael Granlund I thought was really good last year. I think there's a little bit more from a goal-scoring perspective that they probably need to get out of him this year, and I'm interested to see if they could get that as well.
Yeah, right. That's the thing is, you're not getting a lot of goal pressure from him. You're still, like, you're very happy with what his role.
He's been good.
He's been good. Yeah, if Duchesne somehow, I mean, Duchesne is about to turn 32. You know, before last year, he had one 30-goal season. It was 30 with that awful Avs team of 15-16. So if Duchesne somehow goes back-to-back 40-goal seasons when he had only had one 30-goal season and does that in his early 30s, I mean, I guess that's either like it's Fountain of Youth and or apparently John Hines is like the greatest coach who could ever coach Matt Duchesne.
Maybe so. Well, look, he's looked really good in the preseason so far. So, look, like I said, maybe they found something there where that's just what they are moving forward. And if that's the case, that's very good news for the Nashville Predators. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee. We'll look ahead at the matchup against Ole Miss this weekend. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Wednesday morning at 7:30, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee. Clark, good morning. What's going on?
Oh, not much. Good morning to you guys. We're just on to Wednesday here, so right in the middle of the week, and excited about the game this weekend.
We're excited as well. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Clark, I'm always curious, for you and your coaching staff, what's a bye week like at this time of year? What do you do? Do you get away from the game at all? Are you just recruiting nonstop? What goes into the bye week for you and your coaching staff?
Well, we do travel. We're recruiting. I'd had a couple of recruiting stops and also did some fundraising and then we practice. You know, our team stays here and trains. We took Monday and Tuesday to do more in the weight room. We practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then took Saturday and Sunday off. So let the guys get home if they're able to. On Saturday, I had the freshmen who stayed in town over to the house to watch some games and have lunch. Relax. So, it's a nice break. You know, we had a late bye last year, so we didn't get the benefit from kind of pushing the pause button here. But we've come back this week healthier and in a good headspace and back at work.
Yeah, and it sounds, Clark, like on the health front, I was going to ask you about that. You've definitely got some guys, as you would hope, when you have an off week, you'd have some guys coming back. Quincy Skinner, I know you said yesterday is back. How big of a deal is Quincy in this offense, and then Xavier Castillo as well? I mean, what does that do for you guys?
Well, Xavier's played a lot of football for us, even as he's young. You know, he played a bunch a year ago, and obviously this season as well. So he's a big physical kid that kind of allows us to be stout there in the middle of the line of scrimmage. You know, Quincy is a great compliment to Shep. I mean, you know, it's funny. He's still developing as a player. He's kind of had to stall out here at the start of the season because of some soft tissue issues. But we have high hopes for him, and I've been excited to see him back and feeling good and, making the plays in practice that we saw him make in fall camp. I think this is going to be a year where he, really – forms an identity on the field, and so we need to get him back out there and let him mix it up. But it's been great to have them back. We also have gotten Braden Babs back from an injury that kind of came out of fall camp, and it's nice to add him to the defensive line for some depth. So a lot of positives. That's what the bye week can do for you. And now, it's about putting together a good week of prep and going out and playing our highest level on Saturday.
So, Clark, obviously Ole Miss coming in on Saturday and the tempo that they bring to the table offensively. As a coach, how do you prepare your team for a tempo like that? And what's the biggest challenge playing against a team that likes to go as fast as Ole Miss does?
Well, they're gonna wear you down. I mean, that's, you know, part of their effectiveness. And it's been interesting. I think I feel like Coach Kiffin's done a nice job, you know, designing an offense that you can swap out quarterbacks, you can swap out skill positions, but they find a way to move the ball and score points. And I believe the tempo is a part of that. You know, they wear defenses down. You'll see a lot of repeated plays. If he feels like he gets you on your heels, he's gonna slam the pedal down and try to finish the drive off. And that's where a lot of their explosives come from. So for us, it's about understanding, you know, the need in the moment to pull from that reserve of strength and to, you know, show up in the right spot at the right time and be what the defense needs you to be. You know, obviously we're gonna rotate guys and try to play a lot of people to stay fresh late in the game. And you know, we're gonna have to just take a level of focus, snap in, snap out, to make sure that, again, we're not allowing the tempo, the speed, the volume of plays to accumulate and to soften us. It's a unique challenge, but it's one that we're excited for too.
Does last year help at all, Clark? I mean, the fact that one, just the familiarity with a lot of your guys, but also you did have some really good stretches defending them last year.
Yeah, I mean, we don't talk about that. We're focused on this season. Obviously, a year ago in Oxford, we came up short in result, and so we didn't play well enough. And this Ole Miss offense has some similar aspects, but they've also developed a subtly different identity just because they've had kind of some parts swapped in and out. And you know, we have to be focused on what this group does really well and defending it. Anytime you're playing a high-powered offense, you're not just leaning on your defense to limit their points. You have to win in all three phases. So this is about, you know, our offense being able to control the game by sustaining drives and scoring points, and special teams by winning the field position battle. And defensively, how do we create possessions for our offense? You know, can we continue this 14-game streak we have going on to turn the ball over? And when you do those things, you position yourself as a team to win the game. That's what we're focused on.
Vanderbilt head coach Clark Leon with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Clark, obviously this is AJ's first time kind of going through the SEC portion of the schedule here. What's kind of, and from what you've seen from him thus far in terms of his makeup, his readiness to handle playing in the best conference in the country on a week-in and week-out basis, what has he shown you from that regard?
Well, he's consistent, and he's been consistent for us in preparation since January. I mean, there's never been – it's not like every day he's had, and even in practice, has been a good day. I mean, you know, he's thrown interceptions and had days that, you know, he didn't perform – he didn't have his A game. You know, he had his C game, and – What I like about him is that he never seems to change his attitude. He never seems to change. He's got an ability to reset each snap and just focus on the present. And that's where high performance lies. And if you let bad plays linger, it's like carrying a weighted vest with you. Or if you get anxious about future plays, you know, then it's going to weigh you down the same. So He's got an ability to stay centered that I think is important at that position. Obviously, we have two exposures of him as a starter. One where he, you know, really kind of led an offense to a really nice performance. The other where, you know, we didn't play well enough on offense, and that doesn't always fall on him, right? There's design elements to that too, and there are things that we can do better on a coaching end. But you know, he has not, you know, it's never been an issue with stepping onto a big stage. It's never been an issue with having, you know, kind of bad plays accumulate. He's got a unique ability to stay centered in the present and to shake off, you know, good and bad performance and just focus on what needs to be done next. That'll bode well for him and for us as we move forward.
Thought it was interesting, Clark, you were asked yesterday about Mike Wright possibly being the game plan. And as you said, you're not gonna divulge. I mean, you're welcome to here if you'd like to, but yeah. But it sounds like you have given that thought about the idea of, you know, look, obviously you can only play one quarterback at a time, but Mike Wright is still a weapon and someone that possibly could help this team at least situationally. How much thought have you put into that?
Well, it was a focus of the bye week. I think once you get to the bye, you're both unpacking kind of your experience up into this point and saying, you know, what are the things that we've done well and where are the areas that we can find some growth? You know, just because it's something that we're focused on doesn't mean that it's going to be, you know, ready to be rolled out, you know, this week. It's just something that, you know, for us is as we continue to look for the highest levels in offense, it's going to be about finding the best 11 players in each situation and scenario. Certainly, we feel like Mike falls into that category. And anytime you're talking about, introducing another quarterback into the game, you always first kind of concern yourself with flow and momentum within a drive. And so we have to find ways to do it that makes sense and that keep that element of flow and momentum. But certainly having the ball in his hands has been a good thing for us this year, and we're gonna absolutely look at ways to involve him as we kind of move through the teeth of our season here.
Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Wednesday morning at 7:30. Clark, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us and looking forward to the game coming up on Saturday against Ole Miss.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good to be with y'all. You guys have a great finish to your week.
Absolutely. You as well. Thanks, Clark Lee, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Going to be an interesting matchup coming up on Saturday. I mean, it's a big win for Ole Miss over the weekend against Kentucky. Their defense has been the thing that's been, I don't know if surprising is the right word, but they've been pretty darn good defensively thus far. So, which is not something that you typically think of the last couple of years with Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin, but defensively they look pretty good. It's a big challenge coming up for this Vanderbilt offense on Saturday.
Yeah, and it's a better Ole Miss team than I expected this year. You just don't know when you switch out such an important position with a great player how it's going to go, and they are different. They run the ball better. They play D, so Lane Kiffin can change his styles too. I thought that was very interesting from Clark Lee and Mike Wright. The focus of the, although you and he both kept saying bye week, but whatever, man. I'll just let it slide this
and
time.
And we know how smart Clark Lee is.
Yeah, I almost was like, Clark, you are a very smart guy. You know that a bye is only in a tournament, right? But I decided not to do it.
Anytime I'm on the same wavelength as Clark Lee, I consider that a victory for me. Yes, so this is, that's what we're going to go with.
That's fair. But I thought it was interesting that they're clearly – and that's the thing. It's like you don't want to go 2QB. You don't want a 2QB system. I get that. But Mike Wright, like, can do things for you. So are there some trick plays? Is it like the red zone stuff that they did when Mike Wright was a freshman? I think it's smart to – I mean, it was a bold move, obviously. But I think it's smart to try to keep him engaged and utilize what he can do for you. It'll be really interesting to see what that is.
Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. Joe Rexrode's rant of the day. We'll have that for you coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
Gonna get to you, girl. Step by step.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rex Road, I turn things over to you on this beautiful Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee.
So I just want to make sure I remember this correctly. Like, I introduced you to NCOP-B, right? Like, you are now a huge NCOP-B fan. You're just playing this because you love this song.
I actually do love this one, and I couldn't remember what I labeled it as. So before we got into this segment, I was like, which one is the step by step? Yeah, so I do love it.
Have you gone through the whole album of NCOP-B?
I mean, no, but I am looking for some
tough,
new music.
Please don't go, girl. Oh, you got to get in there. I'm sure my sister can give you her cassette tape. Or maybe some of the posters of NCOP-B she had on her.
Hey, could be worth something someday.
Bedroom. Yep, wow. It could be. Yeah. Yeah. So, good jam. Today, I'm going to take the opportunity. I mean, really what this is, let's be honest, is my typical self-promotion, which I'm very good at.
Okay.
But I got to say, I do love college football rivalries. And even though I know that Tennessee-Vanderbilt isn't like, you know, I mean, it's not an equitable rivalry, okay, obviously. Now, it has been in recent years way more, which is very interesting. On both sides of it, it's been very interesting to see that. I think it's probably like this year, you know, we're talking about the, you know, Vols fans checkering, you know, Vanderbilt Stadium and things like that. And they have a quite a bit better team. But I gotta say, so I have a story today on 1A The Athletic about Josh Heupel.
Big story.
Spent a lot of time on it. Some really interesting stuff, and we can maybe get into a little bit. There's some really interesting stuff in there, some subtext on him being fired by Oklahoma. Oklahoma fans right now, by the way, looking at their program with Lincoln Riley bailing on him, and now they lose a million to – 7 to TCU, and yeah. It's like, boy, Josh Heupel's doing okay in Knoxville. That was supposed to be our coach. But anyway, I got it. Just McGoogs, at Googs MC, he's a Vanderbilt fan who always, always comes after me when I tweet about Tennessee or I write. I mean, he's actually a Vandy Twitter, Vol Twitter type of personality, okay?
Yeah.
Like so I tweeted out this story. And he immediately quote tweets it and says, Tennessee fans witness above average intelligence, immediately labels person as scientist, can't make this up. Well, in the story, Hendon Hooker is quoted as calling the coaches, you know, football scientists. Like,
yeah.
It's awesome. They're football scientists, you know, whatever. I call them the football scientists. Okay. So again, like if you want to get after them, that's fine, but just actually read it. Okay. Now, another one, then we go start going back and forth, and he says, October Vol hype can almost time your watch to it. And my response to him was, well, no, you can't, because they never are undefeated in October. This is the first time since the Butch year of 16. Like, by now, the hype has been cut into because they've lost
Florida.
A game in September. Again, and now there's the first comment on the story. Let me read the first comment on this, and I'm like, well, I don't know. I can't see reader profiles, but I bet you it's a Vanderbilt fan. Because the headline is, what's next, man? Which is a quote from Josh Heupel. And here's the quote. What's next, man? Losses to Georgia, Alabama, Kentucky, and possibly LSU.
All right.
Yes. So first of all, I love this stuff. So I want to make that clear. I love like the Ralph Goodman.
Oh, yeah.
But also it always is funny to me, you know, the bitterness that can get into these things. And sometimes like the twisting of facts and to suit your narrative.
Well, I got to say, you're teetering back and forth between Vandy Joe and GB Joe is admirable. You're doing a fantastic job of it.
Come over to BBN, Joe.
Hate your team. I hate your team, and I love the team. No. I hate your team, and I love the team you hate.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we haven't been able to make fun of Kentucky's loss to Ole Miss. We did kind of talk about Ole Miss, but we didn't really get into Kentucky today.
I hope you guys know, like, that was probably the most painful loss, and I was telling Ryan that – I've never experienced it's not a rivalry, but just like a really close game in football like that where I actually cared about the football team. And I was like shaking of anxiety and madness because I just knew that if they lost, I would have to come to work on Monday.
That is correct.
Oh. That's sad.
And you did.
And I did.
You put yourself out there, you know.
Right? Yeah. So it's just that then makes it another level of hardness.
So, On that point, so a Kentucky football loss with this great start to Ole Miss, like in the way it went down, compare that misery to,
I don't know,
St. Peter's, Saint Pete. Say.
that was more of like shock. But it's March Madness, so crazy stuff happens like that. Whereas
but
this
it's the
one,
end of, but it's the end of the season, and it's still. I mean, come on, it's Kentucky.
Yeah,
basketball.
No, I mean that sucked, but no, this honestly was worse.
Really?
I think.
Wow.
Because they, well, worse in a different way.
Now she's what? Thinking about it. She's like, well, I don't know.
Well, I cried for the St. Peter's game, and then this game, I was just shaking and couldn't even watch it.
Yeah.
Let's think of some other miserable losses.
Let's compare it to this. What about Tennessee last year? How was that one?
Yeah, that sucked too. Probably going to suck this year too.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, I don't really have anything else to rant about other than, you know, I like that. I like that the Vanderbilt fans back and forth. I would say feel free to read something.
Well,
and, you know, pay attention and pick actual things to rip. There are plenty of real things to rip.
Well, I would say this too. And I'm not necessarily giving away anything here with your big Josh Heupel story at theathletic.com. But anytime that Mike Leach is involved in a story, it's probably one that you're gonna want to read. Put it that way.
Yeah.
But you never told the story, Joe.
Yeah, so I'll tell the story of that. So I texted him last week, and it's one of those things where it's like, do you go straight to a coach or do you go to the SID? Right. I went straight to him because he's Mike Leach and he's a little different, right?
He's colorful.
So he actually was texting right back. He's like, sure. I'm like, okay, good. I mean, you're preparing for Texas A&M, but okay, cool, thanks. So he called me at 12. I sent it to you guys. Was it 12:40?
It was 12 to 12:40 was the phone call.
Yeah, so it was like a 42-minute call, and I asked two questions. And in this story, there are some fantastic quotes about Josh Heupel. But there's a whole bunch of stuff that isn't in the story from Mike Leach. I was just like, you don't say. Keep going. But anyway, yeah. But he also shed great insight. Mike Leach is why all this stuff happened, because he happened to find a dude watching VHS tapes of Josh Heupel in 1998. And I mean, if he doesn't have the eye he has for that, and then the meeting they had where he realized that Josh Heupel's a total offensive nerd like he is, then who knows where Josh Heupel? He'd probably be like at Aberdeen Central High right now, you know, coaching his alma mater. So pretty interesting how things go. But anyway.
So part of the story, which, I mean, you're saying, you know, Mike Leach was almost a Tennessee coach at one point.
Oh, God.
And now maybe he, in a roundabout way, is responsible for what we're seeing right now with Tennessee football.
Absolutely. And, of course, they never play each other. I hope that happens soon, because if it does happen, that will be a fun week. I mean, Mike Leach loves to rip on. Well, let me, you know what? Now that you got me going, let me read one quote from Mike Leach about Josh Heupel. I mean, again, there's a lot that didn't make the story, because it's like, I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
This is Mike Leach. Quote, my mom's family's from Minnesota, so I'm familiar with the passive-aggressive, stoic-faced, don't-show-your-cards Minnesota sort of demeanor. And Josh is all of that now. And then he went on to imitate Josh Heupel's Minnesota, South Dakota accent for like about 5 minutes. And like, he's like, oh, hey, hit, hut one, hut two. And he's like, all these guys from Oklahoma and Texas are like, what the hell is this guy saying? I'm laughing on the phone. Like, I can't use any of this, but you're amazing. Thank you.
You need to record the audio and then like insert it, because that would have been gold.
Yeah, that's the thing. When I do phone, you know, thing to put my AirPods on, I don't record. I mean, I'm a super fast typist, so I don't record phone interviews.
That's impressive.
That's insane. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the most valuable class I ever took was high school typing on a real typewriter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know how many words a minute I have, but you see me. I mean, I can tear it up.
You can go.
Yeah.
By the way, as of the schedule now, which I guess is probably not going to change by the time Texas, Oklahoma get in here, Tennessee going to Mississippi State in 2024. So write it down.
Okay. And Leach is good. Like, they're good. Actually, he's got a good team, man.
He does.
They took it to
Texas A&M.
Mr. Professor Jimbo over
there. Yeah, they did.
Jeez.
Going well down there in Texas A&M. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kaharsky from paulkaharsky.com and Outkick 360. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they take on the Commanders coming up this weekend as well. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from ordergreen.com.
I do. Ordergreen.com is, in case you didn't know, the nation's number one online shop for all things cannabis. So we're talking high-quality THC and CBD products. We're talking edibles, gummies, vapes, flowers, anything you can think of, they have. And some fantastic stuff. They've got a team that knows about that stuff. You're talking high-quality, reputable providers. You're talking a lot of benefits. They've been these products have been very beneficial to me. They've been very, very beneficial to a lot of friends of mine. I have a growing list of them who are interested in them. So get in on this nationwide same-day delivery right to your doorstep. And if you get a subscription, you get 25% off every shipment of gummies. Also, if you use Joe 20, you get 20% off your first purchase at ordergreen.com.